We're in week four of our series, The Emphasis of Ephesus. If you're brand new, and this is your first week, we're in a series looking at the book of Ephesians in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul wrote this book, also called an epistle, a letter to the church of Ephesus. Week one, we kind of just did an overall look at what was coming in the book of Ephesians. Week two, we looked at chapter one. And then last week, Pastor Chris unpacked chapter two. And the vision verse for our church is found in Ephesians chapter two. And Pastor Chris so eloquently explained what it means to be a citizen of heaven. And today we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter three. Ephesians chapter three, there is so much depth in this chapter. I'm going to say that every single week. And if you're like me, going back through the book of Ephesians, if you're reading this with us, it's so refreshing to go back to our first love, back to what all of this means. And chapter three is no different. In week one, I explained to you that the book of Ephesians is basically divided into two parts. The first three chapters-ish is all about who we are in Christ. The second three chapters are all about what that means in our everyday lives. So it's who we are in Christ, and then the last three chapters get very practical in explaining what it looks like in our lives every day to be in Christ. But the second part of that theme, the practical part, actually begins in the second part of Ephesians chapter three. You can see this transition beginning to happen. And I wanna show you on a graph that will be behind me and also over here on the side screens. I wanna show you on a graph, a compare and contrast, a prayer that the Apostle Paul prays in chapter one versus a prayer he prays in chapter three. If you guys could put that up on the screens. Here's how it kind of breaks down. In his first prayer in Ephesians 1, 15 through 23, he talks about revelation. But then in the prayer we're gonna unpack today, it's about realization. So you can kind of see this moving from theology to practical application in our lives. We see enlightenment in his first prayer. The second prayer is about enablement, light and life. Know what you are, be what you know the power of God, experience the fullness of God. There's power working for us. But then also in this prayer we're going to unpack today, there's power working in us. The first three chapters are you in Christ. The last three chapters in the prayer today we're going to look at is Christ in you. What does it look like for us to live our everyday lives with Christ? I'm going to go through a lot of notes today, but don't forget, all three campuses, if you are not a part of our email system, make sure before you leave today that you're a part of that, because every Monday morning we send a recap of the messages in these series because we know there's a lot of notes and a lot to take in. So I want to read today. We're going to basically look at Ephesians 3 through the end of the chapter, and I want to start in verse 16. And this is where the prayer that I just mentioned begins. And the Apostle Paul says this, "I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being." That's important. "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all of the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Man, if you break that down line by line, we could have an entire fall sermon series, but I'm gonna do this first part in 10 minutes. Are you ready? So we look at this prayer and it is powerful. But it's essentially a four-part prayer with four powerful prayer requests that Paul asks. Now, before I go through these, I want to tell you, if you're someone who is really trying to develop your prayer life, where you find yourself only praying in times of desperation or just when you randomly think about it, but you're really wanting to develop a prayer life, what an awesome model of these four requests to build into your prayer every day. Here's the first one. Number one, we see strength. The Apostle Paul asks for strength, not only for him, but for you, for me, the church, the body of Christ, Christians. And he says this in verse 16, again, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. And let me tell you, I know this might sound basic when we're just starting this message today, but one of the most powerful things you can pray from God is to strengthen you, not in your own strength, but in his strength in you. Because if we're being honest, we are not strong enough on our own without God to face the opposition in this world, to face what's going on. Our teenagers, our children, even adults in the room, we are not strong enough to do it. We need the strength that only God can give. What an amazing thing to jumpstart a prayer. Number two, the second prayer request is depth. He says this in verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, listen to this wording, being rooted and established in love. Paul is saying, hey, one of the things we need to pray for, and one of the things he's praying over us, even into eternity, what he's praying is that we would not have a surface level faith, that there would be something in us that the roots would grow deep. I want you to think about a tree that has deep roots. We were just in England, like I mentioned, and one of the things that fascinates me when you walk around and all the history isn't just the buildings that are old, but you look at these gigantic trees next to these buildings that are 1,000 years old, 1,200 years old. One of the churches we went to was 1,500 years old, and they're talking about how old the church is, and I think our church is old, being 93 years old. But up against that, I'm like, we're newbies. But you think about how old the buildings are, but how old are the trees? All the storms, the wars that they lasted through, all of the kings that they provided shade for. Why? Because their roots grow deep. I want to be like an oak tree where the roots grow deep, where I am established in God, empowered by his Spirit, where I can weather any storm. Anyone else? So he says, pray for strength, pray for depth. And the third part of this prayer in this first section is understanding. In verse 18, he says, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. He's talking about grasping, knowing. It's this understanding where there's this day in our lives with God as we're walking in faith where it's no longer just knowledge in our brain, but something goes from our brain to our heart and our spirit, and we get it. There's not just I know truth, I understand what God is telling me. I understand when I'm looking at the Word of God, and this can truly only come through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is why the Apostle Paul is praying for these things. It's not just the discovery of knowledge. It surpasses knowledge. This is an understanding. This is wisdom that we can pray for and receive from God. And the fourth request in this first prayer is this, fullness. Fullness. It's a powerful ending line in this first section. Verse 19b says, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I want you to think about this. I don't know about you, but if there's one thing I want from God, I want the fullness of God and everything he wants for my life. I don't want a fraction of it. I don't want a portion of it. Everything a good God, my heavenly Father, wants to give me in this life, perspective, wisdom, understanding, strength, all the things that bring joy and fulfillment. If there's one thing I want, it's everything God wants for me. Anybody else today? I want the fullness of God. And the Apostle Paul is saying that's his prayer request for us. And we can pray for that. I want everything God has for me. Now, when you look at these four prayer requests, they aren't just scattered and random. They're compounding requests. One commentator, when I was researching for this message, compared it to the lenses in a telescope. If you were to hold up a telescope and look into the sky, and it just had the first lens, it wouldn't work. But it's looking through the first lens, which looks through the second lens, which looks through the third and fourth, looking through all the lenses in sequential order, compounding lenses, only then are we able to see the full picture of what the telescope is intending for us to see. And it's the same way with this prayer. This prayer is meant to pray in that order, and with that understanding of all four have to be at play in order to experience the fullness of God. We have to understand it's about strength. We have to understand it's about depth. Not our strength, his strength, but our depth. We have to know it's about understanding, wisdom. And we also have to know it's about the fullness, but you only get that when we are growing in all four. When we're growing in all four. When we look at that prayer and that last line, experiencing the fullness of God, it's a perfect segue into what I believe is one of the most powerful scriptures in the entire Bible. One of the most looked up scriptures in the entire Bible online. I think out of all the thousands and thousands and thousands of verses in the Bible, it's the 57th most looked up researched scripture in the entire Bible. Ephesians 3:20. Now, Paul in verse 19 says this prayer and says, I pray that you would experience everything God has for you. But then he goes into Ephesians chapter 3, and I want to show you Ephesians chapter 3 in three different translations. I want to show you these. They're saying the same thing, but it's, again, trying to wrap English around these ancient languages and also trying to wrap English around how to explain these supernatural things, right? In the NIV, it says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more. That's the title of my message today, immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. The New King James Version says this, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly. How many of you guys memorized this version growing up? Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. If you were at our prayer and worship night a week and a half ago on a Wednesday night, I read the Amplified Version to you, and it just unpacks this beautifully. It says, now to him who is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, more than all we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams, according to his power that is at work within us. Guys, that is a powerful verse. One of the things I love the most about the Bible, I heard a theologian say this a few years ago, and it kind of changed, it rocked me, and it's just a simple statement. He said, when you read the Bible, step back sometimes and look at the Bible again and try to understand what the Bible is actually asking you to believe. Because there are times in the Bible where you read something, and if you're not careful, you kind of just read over it. But this is one of those verses I want you to really think about. Think about what God, through his word, is asking you to believe in Ephesians 3:20, that he is the God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, immeasurably more than you could ever ask, think, or imagine. Do you actually believe that today? This was a hard message for me to write. I was on the airplane, I was in England, and I'm looking around, you know, I'm writing this, but the reason why it was difficult is because it's so challenging. Because we've weathered enough storms now, and we've gone through enough valleys where you read a passage like this and you think, I want to believe that you're the God of immeasurably more, and you want to do that in my life. I have faith, but I want to believe, but do I really believe in light of everything that we see in the world? Now, this phrase, exceedingly abundantly or immeasurably more, comes from the Greek, and the Greek translation is three different Greek words. And the Apostle Paul is actually making up a phrase that's found in no other ancient writings. Making up a phrase because, again, he's trying to explain something that's unexplainable. And the Greek word that he kind of forms, this phrase, the Greek word is this. It's huper ek perisu. And it breaks down like this. The word huper means, or huper means above, ek means beyond, and periso means abundantly. So it's above, beyond, abundant. the Apostle Paul as he's writing. And remember, where is the Apostle Paul when he's writing this? Prison. Prison. And he's saying, writing to the church of Ephesus, saying, let me tell you about a God that has done exceedingly, abundantly, more, immeasurably more than anything I could have ever imagined for my life. While he's sitting and writing this in prison. That's perspective. Armitage Robinson, a theologian and philosopher, wrote this about this section of scripture. He says, no prayer that has ever been framed has uttered a bolder request. Has the apostle then gone over the top? No, for it is impossible to ask for too much, since the Father's giving exceeds their capacity for asking or even imagining. I love that quote. He's saying, is the Apostle Paul going over the top? You can't go over the top with an over-the-top God. You can't go over the top with our requests, but how often do we look at ourselves as believers and we diminish ourselves to a point where we don't feel like we're worthy to even ask God to do immeasurably more? When was the last time that you actually out loud with your words said, God, do immeasurably more than my wildest dreams in my life? Why? Because it almost feels selfish of us. But this scripture is permission to dream, to expand our minds, and to ask God to do immeasurably more in our lives. Do you guys believe that today? So here's where we're gonna spend the next few minutes of the message. We're gonna look at five keys from this scripture. Five keys to unlocking God's immeasurable more in our lives. Five keys. Now, when you start looking at this going, man, that sounds like a book title that a pastor would write that is in the name it, claim it section of our world, right? No, this is not prosperity gospel. I'm not gonna tell you if you do certain things, you're gonna get rich. And if you do certain things, God is gonna grant all your wishes like he's a genie. But what we are going to unpack is what the Bible actually asks us to believe. That we serve a God who wants to do exceedingly abundantly in your life. And there's five keys. We can't control God. There are times that I have prayed for healing for people and miracles and it didn't happen. But I didn't stop believing the scripture. I can't control God and I don't have the perspective of God because I'm not sovereign, only he is. But we're not talking about what we expect God to do and like we're controlling God. We can't control God. These five keys are about controlling the only thing we can control, you and me. We can only control us. This is about the five keys to unlock doors in our lives that God wants to step into and expand. The first key is this. Number one, these are simple, but bear with me. Number one, believe in God. And this comes from the phrase at the beginning of this scripture, in him. In him. Now remember, at the beginning of the passage, it says in him. To him. Who is him? Who is him? God. To him who is able. Now, this is about alignment with God. This is about believing in God. It's about putting him at the center. What I love about this is it almost mirrors the beginning of Jesus's prayer when he teaches us how to pray, the Lord's Prayer. It begins with, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, right? This prayer begins to him. Jesus' prayer is our Father. There's something about glorifying God, pointing to God, being the center, being the center of everything in our lives at the beginning of a prayer that puts him in his rightful place and mine and me in my rightful place. Everything begins and ends with God. But here's what we've got to remember. If we want immeasurably more from God, we need to be in alignment with God. We have to be in alignment with God. Now, I've prayed with people before that have come up to me with genuine sincerity in their hearts. And I was able to teach and guide them after this prayer request. But I've talked to couples who were not married, living together. They're brand new to the faith and to church. They may not know better, but they're living together, sleeping together, and they're not married. and they're coming to me and saying, Pastor Dustin, can you pray that God would bless our relationship? And as much as I want to pray that, I can't, because I know theologically God won't, until they either stop sleeping together or they get married. Then they're in alignment with God because they've placed him, what God says truth is, who God is first, and they all of a sudden are in alignment and they realize we may not have known, we have good hearts, we have sincerity, but we cannot ask God to bless something that he says in his word he won't bless. And oftentimes what happens is we're living lives going, where is the blessing of God? Where is it? I've asked God for blessing all the time in my life. Where is it? But there are certain areas of our lives that we tell God he's off limits. And then we say, bless my life. And God says, do you want me to bless all of your life? Yes, then give me all of your life. God, bless our family. But we do not believe in giving our money to you, God. We don't believe in the tithe. We don't believe in generosity. We don't want to do that. God, don't touch our money, but bless me. How does that logically make sense? It's challenging for me, and it's challenging for you. This is one of those sermons. This is an us sermon. This is an us sermon. We look at all of these things, the definition of truth and what's happening in society right now. God, bless my life. Bless our marriage. Bless our family. But we are going to be proponents politically and everything else in this world of the things that violate your word of God. Bless us, but we're going to be against you. Doesn't work like that. I'm not talking about perfection. I'm not talking about earning God's love and blessing. I'm talking about facing the same direction as God. Yes, you're going to stumble. Yes, you're going to fall. Because we sin every once in a while, that does not negate the blessing of God. But if we are not in alignment with him, this life is not going to go where you want it to go. Still with me today? Got a little quiet there. Just making sure. Okay. All right. The rest of them get a little happier. Number two. The second part is believe God. The second key, believe God. So remember, the first key is believe in God. Believe in him. Alignment with him. Number two, believe God. This comes from that little part of the scripture that says to him, who is able. He's able. We sang that amazing song earlier today. He is able, more than able, to do everything in our lives that we need him to do. He is able. Do we believe God? Now, one of the things I want to ask you is simply this. Do you believe in God? Yes or no? Do you believe God? There's a difference. I know thousands of people over the last 20 years that had a true, sincere belief in God. But when it came to his word and what God said in a verse like Ephesians 3:20, they don't necessarily believe the God they believe in. You following me? It's a whole different step of faith to believe God and not just believe in God. And when it comes to the fact that he is more than able, I want to challenge us with a few things today. Believers often limit God on what he can do, but his power is actually unlimited. It's we put limits on what he can do, but he's unlimited. So I want to challenge you with this. I think a practical step on this point, commit to do this. Ready? Commit to never praying small prayers. It might feel like a small request, but if it's worth taking to God, it's a big request and it needs a big prayer. Everything matters to God. But don't limit him. God, I know you're busy, but if you could just help just a little bit, I don't need help with the whole thing. I picture God going, are you kidding me? What do you need? God, I've got this problem. And I wanted to come to you and say, I know you're busy, but just maybe if you could help me a little bit. But God, you're the God who is exceedingly, abundantly, beyond what I can ask, think, or imagine. God, you are able. Can you do this? Don't pray small prayers. Isaiah 52:10 in the message. I love this scripture, this image of God. It's in the message. It says, God has rolled up his sleeves. All the nations can see his holy, muscled arm. Everyone from one end of the earth to the other sees him doing his work. Now, I want you to always remember this image. When you start praying to God, I want you to remember this image. God, when you pray, starts rolling up his sleeves. He starts rolling up his sleeves and says, I cannot wait to show the enemy that's been attacking you my muscles. You know, like when I was little, I would go to my dad and say, Dad, look at my muscles. And he'd go, ooh, yeah, those are huge muscles. And now I go to my kids and I go, guys, look at my muscles. And I'm like, Dad, this is embarrassing. You don't have muscles. But God, no matter what happens, when he rolls up his sleeves, every enemy flees because he's the God who is able. The third key is this. Believe the best about God. Believe the best about God. Immeasurably more. You want to know what this tells me? The Apostle Paul could have stopped saying, to him who is able, and then just gone right on. But he doesn't. To him who is able, to exceedingly abundantly, to do immeasurably more than all you could think or imagine. The immeasurably more added to this verse tells me that this reveals his love for us. He's not going to stop at the technical thing he could do. He's going to go above and beyond because of his love for us. Matthew 7:11, Jesus is talking, pretty famous scripture, and he says this, if you then, he's talking to people, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father, will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? He's saying if earthly fathers get it, even the ones that are evil, how much more will your heavenly Father want to bring good gifts? Remember, in week 2, we talked about adoption being the metaphor for salvation. We aren't adopted into a fatherless family. We are adopted in Christ with God the Father as our Father, with Jesus as our advocate. We are in a new family and have a Father that wants to bring good into our lives. Dustin isn't saying this. The Bible is saying this. This isn't prosperity gospel. This is the gospel because we serve a good and loving God. My dad is so funny, and he's not in town today, or he would be laughing on the front row when I tell this story. But every year at Christmas, my brothers and I, there would be presents under the tree and we would unwrap them. And we learned early on that my dad always likes to surprise people. That's how he works. He's always sneaking in a surprise somehow. He's stealthy about it. So at the end of Christmas morning, and eventually we caught on to it, my dad would go, is that all the presents? Is that all of them? Kay, is that all of them? If you know my dad, he's very dramatic. Is that all of them? And my mom would go, I don't know. Is that all of them? And my dad was like, hold on. I think there might be one more. And we're like, yes, Dad, you've done this for 8 straight years, you know. And he goes into another room and he comes out with this last dad present that he had been saving for. And he gives us this present because there's one more surprise on top of the other gifts that he's already given. You know, that's the nature of our Heavenly Father. We look at the blessings in our lives, but our Heavenly Father says, is that it? Is that it? I don't think that's it. There's always a surprise coming with God. I can't tell you how many times, even in the lowest valleys, this scripture does not negate the fact that there is sickness in this world, that there is tragedy in this world. It doesn't mean just because we serve a good God, there aren't evil things still happening in this world. But let me tell you something. In the midst of those darkest valleys, lowest valleys, he's still the God of immeasurably more because he can bring in the midst of tragedy that thread of his goodness to remind us there's always one more gift. There's always immeasurably more when it comes to God. The fourth key is this. Believe he wants the most for me. And this comes from the section of the scripture, all we can ask or imagine. Other translations say all we can think, ask, or imagine. The Apostle Paul just goes on and on. So he wants to do immeasurably more beyond all we can ask or imagine. How does that apply to believe he wants the most for me? Now that almost, when I was writing it, I actually called my wife to say, they're gonna think that I'm like saying, This scripture is about me. You know, this passage is about God, but he's giving you permission and he's giving me permission to dream again. Dream again. Imagine again. You know what I found out on this trip this last week? One of the pastors who is leading a revival in London where basically Christianity is all but dead and has been for years. Revival's taking place, and this pastor referenced this scripture, and he said, I had to work in time in my schedule to be bored again. Because when I found myself bored, time is when I then started the discipline of imagining again, dreaming again. But he said, we become so busy in our lives, we stop praying because we stop dreaming. And that challenged me. I started thinking, when was the last time I was bored? I don't even know. Life is so busy. I've got to work in boredom again. Can I get an amen? Not for the sake of being bored, but for the sake of God getting your attention again. You're leading a business and you want those resources from the business to expand the kingdom of God. Dream again, bigger than you could have ever imagined. Dream again. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you again. The dream that you thought was dead, you found yourself in a job for 10, 15, 20 years that you feel like is okay, and you dreamed when you were a teenager, a young adult, about what God could do. Don't let that dream be dead. Dream again. It's time to dream again because we serve a God that gives us immeasurably more beyond what we can ask, think, or imagine. Imagine again, think again, dream again. And even in this moment, if you're finding yourself sad, going, other people, it's for other people, it's not for me, this is exactly for you. God brought you here today to tell you he's the God of immeasurably more. Dream again, dream again. Number five, the fifth key. Believe that there is power within me. Believe that there is power within us. The last line here says, his power within us. What's that power? Holy Spirit. He explicitly talks about it before and after Ephesians 3:20. Holy Spirit power within us. Now, this is where some people get it wrong. The power within us, we are not the beginning and ending purpose of that power. It's not my power, it's his power that I'm housing. It's his power within me. It's not for me only. It's for me, but meant to work through me. And the more powerful we are in our lives spiritually, we receive more power of the Holy Spirit, experience more power of the Holy Spirit when we are allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us and not only asking him to work for us. He wants to work in you and for you, but that's not the purpose of the Holy Spirit in you. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to empower you to be a witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and has also empowered you to bind with other believers to build up the body of Christ through the spiritual gifts. As the spiritual gifts link together, we are not only empowered individuals, but now we are an empowered body of Christ here on earth to evangelize a lost world. We can't put our hope in anything else than what God tells us to put our hope in. Jesus Christ, working through the power of individuals who make up the local church. Today, when we look at Ephesians chapter 3, this is where the chapter starts changing, the book starts changing. For the next few weeks, Ephesians is going to seem very practical. The Apostle Paul holds back no punches. It's the Holy Spirit speaking through him as he writes. But here's what I want. I want you to come for the remaining parts of this series. Don't sit them out. There's an important election coming, and we need to know in light of that and everything else in our world what it looks like to be citizens of heaven, not only in this building, but in our schools, our workplaces, and everywhere we go. The handles. We get the handles for the next few weeks. But here's how I want to end today. I'm going to have you stand, and I'm going to ask no one to leave until we're done with this prayer, because this is the most important moment in our service. One thing I can't do is preach on the power of God and then his Holy Spirit power without giving the opportunity for us to experience it. Those of you that have been coming here for several years know that Mandy and I go to this pastor's gathering about once a year in England, but we haven't been for 2 years now. And going back, what always impacts me and why I'm even finding myself emotional right now is the church is in such a desperate place that they can depend on nothing but the power of the Holy Spirit. And every time you gather with pastors there, they say, look around, because this is where America's going. We're only 15 or 20 years ahead of you. They're post-church, post-Christian. It is no longer normal whatsoever to be a Christian there. It is very abnormal and is a very small percentage. But that's when God seems to show up the most, because the people of God get desperate. Politics didn't work like they thought. All the things that they tried didn't work like they thought. And then we revert back to the power of the Holy Spirit. But I'm coming home and I'm asking you to do as an individual and for us to do as a church and all three of our campuses. I don't want to wait and be forced into desperation. I want us to be disciplined today to get desperate before God for our families, for our individual lives, for our church and in our society, to say we need the power of the Holy Spirit. So I'm gonna end with two prayers today. And if you would bow your heads and close your eyes, just right where you are, two prayers. The first group of hands that I'm gonna ask for you to raise in just a moment are those who would say that very first point, believing in him, I don't know where I stand before God. I think I might today need to get things right with God through Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, the forgiveness of sins. I need to receive Jesus as my savior and get right with God today. If that's you, I'm not gonna let this linger very long at all. But right where you are on the count of three, if you would just raise your hand and say, I need to get things right with God through Jesus Christ right now on the count of three. One, two, three, just right where you are, right where you are. Just raise your hand. I'm not gonna call you out or anything like that. I just wanna know who I'm praying for. Thank you guys, thank you. Keep them up just for a moment. I wanna know who I'm praying for. Put your hand right back down. In a moment when we pray, I want you to pray boldly in your own heart, in your own spirit to receive Christ. The second group I wanna pray for are a group of people where you're saying, I need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit today. I today through discipline, even if I don't feel desperate, some of you are though, we're at a place of desperation for our individual lives, our families, our marriages, our church, our society, saying, I want the fullness of God. I want the fullness of his Spirit to empower me to live the life. I wanna be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I wanna operate in the spiritual gifts. I want to offer the world supernatural strength through the power of the Holy Spirit to fight supernatural battles in this world. If that's you today and you would like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we're just gonna pray a simple prayer in a moment. Raise your hand right where you are. One, two, three. Awesome. Here's what I'm gonna do. Whether you raised your hand for the first or second, if you could open your eyes just for a moment. Open your eyes. I want us all, let's just do everybody, with your hands outstretched like this, just with a receiving posture, I want us to pray, come Holy Spirit. And when I pray this prayer for come Holy Spirit into our lives, I'm also gonna pray that prayer of salvation. My prayer doesn't save you. If you're one of those who said, I wanna get right with God today, it's your spirit declaring that he is Lord, he is risen, and I wanna give my life to him today. I'm repenting of my sin and I wanna give him my life today. But when we pray with outstretched arms, if you're one of those who said, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we're just gonna say, come Holy Spirit, let my life be a vessel. Nothing weird is going to happen. God is a loving, kind God, and he just wants to give you his fullness and everything he has for you. Let's pray. God, we come before you today, and we ask your Holy Spirit to come into this room today. Holy Spirit, we know you are here. Our lives are open. We want you to fill our hearts. Holy Spirit, right now, empower us, fill us. Bring the spiritual gifts that you have for us, whether we're here at our central campus or at North or in Maui, with outstretched arms, Holy Spirit, come into our lives. I want boldness today, Jesus. Holy Spirit, I want to be a witness in our society. I want to be bold about my faith. I want to be bold about my calling. I want darkness to flee. I want the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And also today, Jesus, you saw the hands that went up of those that are saying, I want to make things right with you today. Jesus, we're asking you to come into our lives today. We repent of our sin. We are turning around and we're facing you today, Jesus. We see what you did on the cross. You died in our place to take the penalty of our sin. And today we are calling on your name, Jesus, to come into our lives, to make us brand new creations before you. The old is gone, the new is come. We have an eternal home in heaven secured. Now we are citizens of heaven, commissioned on earth, not powerless, but empowered by your Spirit. Today, God, we thank you for everything you're doing in our lives as individuals, in our church. And God, we believe and declare that our city will be a different place. Our neighborhoods will be a different place because your Spirit is alive and active in our lives today, Jesus. We thank you. And in your name we pray. Everyone said, amen.